Everybody, to our latest edition of MetroSite, where we provide insight on CX and UC technology innovation from our research, as well as interview other experts like we're going to be doing today. We have Henry Svenblad here today. He is President and Chief Technology Officer at Lintellio, and I'm Robin Garris. I'm CEO and Principal Analyst here at Metrigy. So Henry is just a great guy. So excited he's here. He has done so many cool things in his career. He's a real innovator, a real technology leader, just a real big thinker as well. So I don't want to talk too much today. I want to give Henry a chance to talk because he's got some really cool things. So I want to start with Company Nurse. Sure. So give us some background on this company itself. It's kind of unique. It's got a real specific business value to customers for sure. It does. So let's start by talking about your role there pre-pandemic, and then Henry's going to kind of go into how he's transitioned to this president role of a brand new company that spun off of Company Nurse. But it's just really interesting and really cool how you got there. And I think there's probably a lot of other technology leaders who would love to be able to do what you have done. So let's start by just giving us some background on the company itself.
Sure. Thank you, Robin. So nice to meet all of you out there. Henry Svenblad. I've been with Company Nurse, now Lintellio, for about 6 years. I've been in healthcare technology and IT for close to 30 years now. When I started at Company Nurse, the company was right on the beginning of a big digital transformation. They didn't really know it, but they were being held back by their technology infrastructure, their on-premise contact center platform. I won't mention who, but basically, the technology really needed a refresh. The CEO reached out to me with a mutual friend and basically said, hey, you know, can you help us? And at the time, I was doing consulting for other companies. And once I started to dig in, I saw the promise. So a little bit about Company Nurse. So Company Nurse has been in the workers' compensation industry or insurance technology for now 25 years. We just celebrated our 25th anniversary. And for 25 years, Company Nurse has been focused on lessening the pain of workers' comp. And they've done that with a contact center in Scottsdale. At the time I joined, I think we had about maybe 30 agents at the most, 25, 30 agents. We're now close to 100 agents today. So that gives you a sense of how well and how much the business has scaled up. It didn't take long for me to convince the leadership team and the CEO that we needed to replace our contact center platform. And so I embarked on a mission to find a contact center as a service platform. We ended up picking Genesys. And so, you know, that was kind of the beginning of my time at Company Nurse. After that implementation, they asked me to come on full time. And that's where I've been for the last 6 years. I don't know if you want me to get into kind of some of the sort of pre-pandemic or what we did around the pandemic, but I'll open it up for.
Yeah, I think it would be good. I think it'll be good just to understand, like, so everyone understands what Company Nurse does. Sure. You know, like what do your contact center agents do, and then what changed? Because obviously the pandemic was very, you know, not instrumental, but it was very it affected your business quite a bit. Sure. So, what do your contact center agents do? What did they do before the pandemic, and how has that all changed? What happened during the pandemic
So for 25 years. As I said, we've been doing essentially the same thing. When the company started, it was using an off-the-shelf software and fax machines, basically for the purpose of injury reporting. So imagine one of our most common call types is a teacher being bitten by a student. I know you guys are in Chicago. We work with a lot of the schools in Chicago. So you may have heard that sometimes students will bite their teachers. And when that happens, the teacher needs to, or in our case, if they're working with Company Nurse, the teacher will call us. They go through an intake process. We have what we call injury care coordinators that are typically slightly lower wage than our nurses, obviously. really hired to be good at typing, good at customer service skills. And so they take about 7 minutes to capture all of the who, what, when, where, and why or how the accident mm-hmm. happened. And then they transfer the call to one of our registered nurses. And we're leveraging now some of the capabilities within Genesis to do skills-based routing. So we make sure that calls are going to a nurse that's certified for the state where that incident occurred. And so the nurse will get on the line, and the objective for the nurse, and obviously they're following their moral imperative, which is to take care of that injured employee or that injured teacher.
Right.
So they're just wanting to do the right thing for them, which means getting them to the appropriate point of care and giving them care advice if deemed appropriate. So maybe, you know, in the case of an incident, they might send somebody home with ice and ibuprofen, or if they need to be referred to a facility, we have a whole department that verifies facility data, because we want to make sure that if we're sending somebody to a facility, that facility is not closed because of COVID, that mm-hmm. they have the right services, right? You don't want to send somebody to a facility to get an x-ray and they don't have x-ray services. So we go through this whole process behind the scenes to make sure that the facilities we're sending them to are the right ones. Not only do we refer them to the facility, but now with some of our integrations, we're able to send a provider alert either via email, fax, or API. We work with some of the largest providers in the country to do that. We also, through another integration, are able to provide them with a ride using something called Relay Ride, which is like an Uber or Lyft, that via text message, we schedule the ride and get the employee to the right, you know, to their appointment. In addition to that, as soon as the nurse hits submit, in addition to sending the information to the provider and a text message to the employee, letting them know what the care advice was, we're also distributing information. This is a really key piece of lessening the pain of workers' comp. Workers' comp, depending on the state you're in, you have filing deadlines, guidelines that, you know, need to be met. And so we help with the whole administrative side of that. But we also take it a step further and we pass that information on to all the different stakeholders in the chain. So we might send a claim to their TPA or insurance carrier. We'll notify their management, and we have, you know, conditional rules that do that. That's been the focus for 25 years. Now, you were asking about how that changed or how that's changed with the pandemic. So in March of 2020, we had upgraded to Genesis in March of or April of 2018. And so we were 100% on Genesis Cloud. We already had about a 30% remote workforce, meaning people that are working 100% remote. And then March 12th or 16th, I forget exactly the date, we decided we're going to send everybody home. And, you know, we scrambled a bit for about a week because some people were only working in the office. We had to ship equipment to them to work from home, or we need to send them home with equipment. But compared to what some of my colleagues that have other platforms that were on premise, it was smooth, right? We use WebRTC soft phones. All we needed for folks to connect was they just needed their computer and a USB headset. So we were up and running within days. The next thing we did is, well, the next thing we noticed was our volume literally fell off a cliff. So we get paid on a per call or per incident basis. And you can imagine for 24, 23 years, school's been great to us. They're sticky.
Yeah.
They're consistent. You know, there's a lull in the summer and in the wintertime, but for the most part, it's, you know, smooth sailing. Well, everybody went to remote, you know, work, including schools. And so we saw our volume drop off by about 60% overnight. And we all kind of looked at each other and thought, you know, how are we going to survive this? So we did a couple of things. So the first thing we did is we signed a no layoff pledge. So we were determined to keep all of our employees. We weren't sure how we were going to do it at the time.
That's pretty bold.
That's pretty bold, right?
That's pretty awesome.
The next thing we did was we put a plan in place to reach out to our customers, because we now had, at this point, we'd already grown the business. So we had, you know, maybe 40, 50 agents that were just now sitting idle. And we thought, well, we've got nurses, we've got a pandemic going on. There must be something here that we can do to help some of our customers. So we started to reach out. And we had a, I won't name the customer, but we had a utility company in California that reached out, and they basically said, look, our employees have to report to work. They're freaked out. They can't work from home. The lights have to stay on. You know, the water has to keep flowing. Can we have these employees call you, call your nurses twice a day, and have your nurses just walk them through like a symptom check? Are you feeling okay? You know, the CDC kept changing the symptoms, right? And so companies were struggling, HR departments were struggling with how do we know if somebody's safe to come to work? The CDC is updating their guidelines, you know, on a constant basis. So, so we agreed to do that. And it wasn't very profitable. We weren't, you know, we were basically just covering our cost. It wasn't very scalable. Okay. We were getting hundreds of calls a day just for symptom checks. It wasn't a great user experience. You know, I don't know about you guys. We have a great contact center, but every time I see call our contact center, you know, I sort of do one of these, oh gosh, what now, right? How long am I going to be on hold? That's not the case with our contact center, but that's a common, and especially with the pandemic, it seems like customer service is just falling off a cliff for everyone. So that sparked an idea for myself and our leadership team, which was, what if we were able to leverage our Genesis Cloud capabilities and digital interactions? Because if we had a digital symptom checker where people could go through a standard set of questions every day that we can update dynamically, and then using Genesis integration, get them to talk to a nurse only when they're having symptoms, and then have an ability for the nurse to then override them, basically saying, look, you're just having allergy symptoms. You get them every year. That's why you have a headache, or that's why you're congested. You should be okay to go to work. So that's essentially what we built. We built a digital health screening system that had the ability to escalate to a live agent, and then built some integration so that that live agent nurse could then make a determination as to whether this person should show up to work or not. And then in addition to that, we created essentially like a safety pass. We have them now. We have vaccine passes. Obviously, I'm sure some of you, if you've traveled, passports and so on. So it was basically a stoplight system where employees or students or teachers or parents even would show, hey, my child is okay to come into the workplace. And we work with some of our customers. Well, one, we started offering this as a service to all of our clients. And in the two or so years that we've had since we launched this product, we've had over 5 million health screening transactions, which if you can imagine, there's no way that we would have been able to handle that volume. And what I would say is, obviously, we didn't think the pandemic was going to last as long as it did. We thought this was a short-lived solution, but it wasn't about the pandemic itself. It was really about this concept of offloading repetitive tasks to a digital solution that can handle this, you know, sort of routine check-in, which is becoming obviously a lot more needed now. Even with the past the pandemic, we have a lot of quick serve restaurant customers that are having a hard time getting their employees to show up. And so this idea of sort of a proactive text message that goes out every day, reminds you to check in with your employer, allows you to do that digitally, and then sends that information to the employer so that they know, hey, this person is showing up today, or, oh, they're not showing up today. Let me make sure that I get a replacement so that we can continue to be in business. So I know I've shared a lot. You probably have some questions there, but that was kind of how we got through the pandemic, and then how Lintellio was created.
So Lintellio specifically does what now? It's the technology that you talked about with the digital health screening and the connection to the contact center if there's an issue. Is that the technology that Lintellio now sells, and who do you sell it to?
Yes. So that's a great question, Robin. So Lintel is a horizontal support beam that's used in European construction. And what we're trying to do with Lintellio is we're trying to bring modern CX to risk managers, specifically in the risk management industry. This industry, risk management insurance, is woefully behind from a security perspective, from a contact center perspective. There's lots of old installed technology that hasn't been updated. And so we now, with Lintellio, are bringing that CX to other risk management episodic workflow. So for example, we've now rolled out a module for work comp incident reporting. And part of the reason for that is California is coming out with some very strict privacy laws that essentially limit what you can send via email. And for 25 years, you know, fax and email has been the way that information gets communicated regarding workplace incidents. Well, now we realize that with our Lintellio technology, we can provide a QR code to employers where they can put on posters or they can share with their employees. We can use friendly domain names and easy to remember domains so that when somebody gets injured or they have another risk management type of workflow that needs to be kicked off, they can scan a QR code. They can very quickly be taken to a progressive web mobile friendly front page that doesn't require them to remember a login. Maybe we do a one-time password. Maybe we do a single sign-on integration with the organization. So it's secure. It's easy to access. And the user experience is fantastic. We really focus on that sort of modern app-like experience without the need to download an app. We had a lot of competitors. We didn't realize how many competitors we had in the digital health screening space, but there were a plethora of companies that just sort of sprung up. And a lot of them required that you download an app. Now, for some of these employers that we work with or organizations, you know, they're public facing or they're semi-public facing. Nobody wants to download another app. We're all kind of app fatigued, notification fatigued. So that's our focus, right? It's away from the pandemic, but it's what are some of these other episodic workflow type solutions that we can provide? I'll give you another example. So we've got the work comp incident module. We've also rolled out a employee assistance program. It's not our program, but we've integrated a program from a company called LifeWorks into our portal so that we can offer that to employees. And mental health is a huge issue right now. We have a whistleblowing compliance solution, and we're going to continue to ask our customers. We're going to, you know, rinse and repeat with what we did with the pandemic, which taught us a great lesson, which is ask your customers, how can I help? What else can I do for you?
Wow, what a story. So right now then, Company Nurse, I would assume, uses the Lintellio technology. And what then, like, you could have kept going on like that. You could have, okay, hey, great, we got this new technology, we're Company Nurse, so we're going to keep growing the company with this technology. But you didn't. I mean, I'm assuming you're still doing that. But in addition to that, you and obviously other business leaders at the company decided to spin off a company. You know, you decided to spin off Lintellio. Yes. So walk us through that decision process and what role did you play? So if you think about other chief technology officers, chief information officers, other tech leaders at other companies, what kind of advice can you give them? You know, what did you do as part of the executive team to decide, make this decision?
Well, one is I definitely stepped out of my comfort zone. So I had to go from CTO to working with our chief growth officer and being front lines. As you know, these products were evolving so quickly that I was chief demo officer and chief I'm just making this up, but we also had to make it easy to do business with us. So we had to integrate a whole financial system behind it to manage the subscriptions and these episodic and usage based charges. So I had to get out of my comfort zone. So that was number one. The second thing is, you know, we looked, our founder and CEO, Paul Binsfeld, is an entrepreneur. He's launched other businesses. And we saw the rapid growth in the technology. And we realized that, you know, one of the challenges with a contact center like the one we have at Company Nurse is that it's expensive to provide that service. It's hard to maintain a large operation like that with expensive resources. And the number of organizations that see the value and are willing to pay the value for that is limited to large organizations that have a high incidence of workplace injuries.
Yeah.
So what we realized with our Lintellio solution is that we could offer a similar value proposition at a much higher scale to more businesses, right? So where our pie of available customers was small, it basically allowed us to grow that pie to say now any business with any number of employees that's going through these challenges can easily use these tools to report a workplace incident, to perform a health screening, to get access to their employee assistance program or a whistleblowing solution. Or, you know, soon we'll be launching other claim lines because we realized that we had integrated with a lot of the same claims platforms. And so reporting a workplace incident is really no different than reporting a slip and fall or an auto accident or something else. We're working on those lines right now, but it was that opportunity that we realized as a technology company, we're going to basically, the valuation is very different for a technology company versus a service business. And we're limited in how much we can scale a service business. And we're not as limited with the technology.
That's awesome. So any advice that you would give to other technology leaders? I know you already said, like, obviously step out of your comfort zone, but, you know, just getting to that point now where, hey, you're the guy, you're the president of the company. I mean,
this is maybe going to sound obvious to you, but based on what you guys do, but because you've been advising companies for years to do this, but embracing the cloud. So we made a decision in 2018 to transition all of our technology to either AWS or Azure. And had we not made that decision in 2018, we may not have been able to ask our customers how we could help, because we would have been too focused on just trying to keep the lights on in our business.
Yeah. Right?
I've talked to a lot of companies that had an on-premise contact center platform, and they had to try to figure out how to get to the cloud during the pandemic, mm-hmm. which was really hard to do, right? So, you know, that may sound like, okay, that's obvious, but we really have embraced work from home. We've eliminated our network. So, you know, we do penetration tests and we work with security vendors. We're really focused on our security posture. And, you know, it's hard now to find companies that understand that we don't have a network. Everybody is treated with sort of zero trust, right? And that's how we can have provide the secure access to these tools, because we've embraced the cloud, because we've really pivoted and changed the way that we approach our network. So that seems kind of obvious, but you know, the pandemic has really allowed companies to kind of see the value in transforming their infrastructure. In addition to that, I would say other advice for us, a lot of companies think a contact center platform is something that they need for their service department or, you know, for a small subset of users. What we've learned in being on this Genesys contact center platform is we're actually able to use that platform for a lot more than just our contact center. So obviously we use it for scheduling our contact center resources.
Yeah.
And now we have these outbound interactions that we can drive digitally through the contact center platform, get feedback through that contact center platform. In fact, now one of the things, and we did this post-pandemic, but we also have a virtual assistant. We're using bot technology that we've modified and integrated into our platform. And that's now offloading. We're doing IVR deflection from our interactive voice response, where when a call comes in, we offer them while they're waiting, or if there's a long hold time, which we usually don't have, they'll get an option to drop into a self-service. And you know, a lot of contact centers today will have long hold times, but they're not offering that self-service option. So you know, get out of your comfort zone also means, you know, implement. Go down the path with a bot, but don't try to boil the ocean. I see one of the challenges that I see a lot of my colleagues in contact centers is they think I'm just going to digitize everything and everything is going to be self-service. Well, that we found that it's the combination of a great digital experience with a compassionate human that is quickly able to jump in and have the context of what that user was doing. So they're not asking, who are you? Where did you come from? It's like, oh, yeah. I see this is who you are. I see you have these issues. Let me resolve your problem. And we've seen by offloading from our IVR, we're getting about 15% of our interactions are getting rerouted to digital. We're seeing a 94% approval rating on those. And we're getting about 50% survey results. So the feedback has been, and the performance has been tremendous. Now we're just looking at ways that we can increment, make our digital assistant smarter and able to handle other things.
50% response is actually incredible too, by the way, just as a side note. So, all right, well, I know I don't want to keep everyone too long, so I appreciate you taking out the time. I guess in closing, you know, you talked a lot about the technology. What about the business leadership side of things now as we wrap up? I mean, I mean, obviously being a business leader, being the head of a company that is a tech company falls right into your area of knowledge and that part of it's your comfort zone. But what about the whole business leadership side of things?
One of the things that's been instrumental is that we actually have, and this we could talk about this for a long time, but we actually have a business coach. I was a professional athlete at one point. I had a cycling coach, and I think a lot of businesses make a mistake that they don't have somebody to coach them and keep them honest, you know, to the outside. So what comes with that coach is we have a very robust framework of communications, of goal setting. And so the leadership is very much aligned. Another thing I would say is while we're all working from home, we had made right before the pandemic, this is no crystal ball that we had, but we had made a big move to get everybody onto Zoom in December of 2019. And of course, 3 months later, we all go work, we're all working from home. And now, you know, one of the things that we do is we really like being on camera. I know it's stressful and it burns you out towards the end of the day, but we feel that we're getting more done with each other and communicating better because we're able to have those touch points. We still like to get together now that the pandemic is kind of behind us, we're all vaccinated. We do like to get together quarterly, and some of us will get together monthly to have that kind of in-person communication, have some fun, but also, you know, you still can't replace the whiteboard as easily. And there are some great tools out there, but sometimes you just want to be in the room and go through kind of a whiteboarding session. So hopefully that provided some insight. And if I can drill down if you have more questions.
Oh, I think that was great. Thank you so much, Henry. I mean, congratulations on all that you guys have been able to accomplish, and just for taking, what was a bad situation during COVID, and turning it into something so innovative and new and good, and has such a good future. Well, best of luck with everything. I don't even think you need luck because you've got the skill and the vision and the great technology behind it. So thanks so much for sharing with us today, Henry. And that concludes today's Metrosite. So thanks, everyone.
Thank you.